Coming up on show 988, Panasonic say they're preparing to make Tesla's 4680 cells themselves later this year. Plus on the podcast today, got some more numbers coming out of Europe as the 2020 wash-up is done, just more impressive sales numbers coming out of California, and which new charging network is launching in New York City. I'll tell you more. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you are in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily. It's Tuesday, 9th of February. My name is Martin Lee, and I've been through every EV story in the last 24 hours and whittled it down to only what you need to know. And trust me, 1,000 episodes ago, this was a quicker podcast to make. Well, for a start with, it was a hobby back on episode one, that I could whip around the news and really, you know, once you discount car announcements of so-and-so is coming in 2021, which was, you know, several years away, there wasn't a huge amount to report compared to today. Now, I'm leaving stuff out of the podcast that, you know, a couple of years ago would have definitely made it in. There is so much amazing, positive, good news around electric vehicles. I just love spreading the word. And if you could ever help spread the word with me, share this podcast with somebody who you think would get some value out of it. Okay, it's been on, it's been off, it's been on then off. And now, Hyundai and Kia say the reported Apple Car deal is definitely off. South Korea's Hyundai Motor Company said yesterday on Monday it's not now in talks with Apple on autonomous electric cars, a month after it confirmed early stage talks with the tech giant. Then it backtracked and said, no. I mean, we talked to lots of people. Look over there. Nothing to see here. Of course, Apple secrecy is legendary, and there would have been a ton of NDAs and all these things signed. And I wonder at the time, the way that Hyundai backtracked from that first announcement a month ago or so, when they were saying, hey, we're talking to Apple, and then almost immediately the press department coming out and saying, no, we never said that. Well, I mean, we might have done, but we didn't mean it. Only joking. Got you guys. Apple definitely picked up the phone and was like, what are you doing? Do not talk about this. It would be my personal opinion. But now, they've said that it's not anything to do with the Apple deal. The shares went skidding today. $3 billion wiped off Hyundai. The stock slid 6.2%. The Kia Group. Now, the Kia Corporation was meant to be making the Apple car. That is, of course, not happening. So their shares tumbled 15%. That's a $5.5 billion hit, says Autoblog. So, you know, how to lose about $8.5 billion in a day. See below. The announcement brings the curtain down on weeks of internal divisions at Hyundai. Both automakers were saying that the potential partnership with Apple could have happened, but also they like to do a lot themselves. And the agreement was becoming reminiscent of the electronics firm Foxconn. Now, nobody knows who makes the iPhone. You know, you don't know, chances are, unless you are a bit of a tech nerd, what Foxconn is. And frankly, who cares what Foxconn is? You're buying an Apple phone. And so, I do wonder, I look at the strength of the brands of Hyundai and Kia, and also, you know, the pride that the Koreans have in their domestic car manufacturing. And if Apple was saying, as I can imagine Apple would, like, we want the credit for this. You can be the supplier and you can be the manufacturer, but Apple is the name above the door. I understand why that is not a slam dunk decision for that company. There'll be plenty of other car makers. There's, you know, the companies like Magna, who make tons of small run stuff. They make the Jaguar I-Pace, very accomplished car builders. They're in Austria. A company like that, that probably you may or may not have heard of, would make the Apple car, but of course, Apple do scale. They need a massive company to build if they are going to build a car, which I've always said, I don't understand how Apple are going to build a car, because cars are messy, and there's so many bits to them, and they need servicing, and they're just not like sexy little slabs of glass that you hold in your hand, or like watches and iPads, and I don't know, a car is just so far away from what I can imagine Apple making, but I could see them doing the software so that that in-car experience is an extension of the universe, the ecosystem that you live in. I can see them doing the sensor suite, the autonomy, and then somebody else just makes all the oily bits, because there are still plenty of greasy, oily bits even on an EV, which just seems very un-Apple, but there you go. So anyway, that deal seems to have been totally canned. Let's move on. 2020 saw another big plug-in share for Europe. These numbers have been coming in over the last few days as we get the wrap-up of 2020. More data on 2020, and this time from the European Automobile Manufacturers Association. Plug-in cars, so electrically chargeable vehicles, which I like because they don't call them hybrids. They make a very big distinction between cars that are electrically chargeable and then everything else that needs to run on fossils. Don't call them self-charging hybrids because there's no such thing. Now, electrically charged vehicles account for 10.5% of all new car registrations in the European Union, compared to 3% the year before. During the last quarter of the year, registrations jumped from 130,000 to 500,000 year-on-year for the last quarter, surpassing non-electrically chargeable vehicles. Which I think is a brilliant way of describing it, if slightly wordy. The strong increase in demand for pure battery electric vehicles and plug-in hybrid vehicles was 200 and 330% respectively, driven by government stimuli for low and zero emission vehicles. Some of the biggest gains coming from those countries that had the biggest incentives, like Germany, where you get like 10 grand off a car if you tick all the boxes. In California, another place that is very EV forward, the cumulative number of plug-in cars sold in California now increased to about 800,000. For comparison, the total number of EVs in the US is 1.8 million. EV drivers can use more than 70,000 charging points in California. There's one charging point per 11 EVs, according to Inside EVs. And compared to more than 3.1 million cars, EVs sold globally in 2020, the US plug-in market is lagging behind, a 10% share out of the entire global volume in the US. You know, I do understand, I chat to my US friends, and for them, largely, the storyline is Tesla, and then some others that are coming along the way, like the Mustang Mach-E, some of the European imports, which aren't doing mega numbers, but they seem more excited about Lucid or Rivian, whereas over here, of course, we know that, you know, Europe's number one EV maker is VW, putting Tesla well and truly in the shade, and I even had my buddy Mark message me when I said that on a recent podcast to go, no, I think you've got that wrong, and I just pinged him back the numbers and was like, no, actually in 2020, VW Group, much bigger than Tesla. And of course, that's just to do with the number of vehicles. Well, firstly, the number of brands that VW have, but also the number of vehicles that they're able to get into customers' hands. Of course, at the minute, Teslas aren't made here. They're either made on the west coast of the US or in Shanghai. So it's kind of understandable, really. But very interesting how the European market's so different to the US market, where EVs are, they are there, but clearly work to be done. Now, another crazy little European car is the Citroën, or Citroën, AMI, A-M-I. It's a microcar. Starting the year, as it means to go on, Citroën's highly innovative AMI has scooped the microcar of the year at the GQ Awards, having been recognised by Top Gear recently in the Disruptor Award. The little AMI is now turning heads amongst industry experts as EV obsession. Ultra compact, the AMI makes city travel and parking easy. It's 2.4 metres long, has a turning circle of 7.2 metres, and it's not even a car, it's a quadricycle. So the AMI is accessible to anyone from 14 years old. In France, for instance, no driver's licence needed, and yet it is, for all intents and purposes, four wheels, two doors, you know, two seats. Check out Johnny Smith's video of it, which is brilliant and full of personality and quirky and beautifully shot and beautifully made, and is a great insight into the kind of uses of these tiny micro cars. And you know, I do see how for mobility, for popping to the shops, we should be walking, we should be cycling or using an e-bike, but these tiny cars can have a place. Okay, let's move on. The electric moped startup Revel, R-E-V-E-L, have you heard of them? In their New York, they're launching a new EV charging business. They're a shared electric moped startup. Now they're building DC fast charging stations for EVs. They're starting in New York City. The first is it's a new business venture that will spread to other cities, according to TechCrunch. The company said that the new super hub is located at the former Pfizer building in Brooklyn. 30 DC fast chargers open to the public 24 hours a day. Revel didn't build the EV charging stations themselves. They're using the Tritium ones. Some of those tritium chargers are kind of noisy, but the latest ones, I think the hardware, very, very good from the tritium stuff. And the first 10 chargers going in the Brooklyn site are going live very soon this spring. So if you're in New York, one of my New York listeners, something to look out for in Brooklyn. Well, Hyundai Motor in the UK has signed an agreement to supply the subscription service Onto with a bunch of vehicles, which is very interesting. Now, as I've said it a few times before, because, you know, full disclosure, Onto sent me a Jaguar I-Pace box fresh from the factory because the I-Pace was joining their fleet to say, hey, try out the service for a month in December, try the app, let us know what you think, and we'd like the feedback, which is super cool. You know what, I'd like to get their the co-founder, Rob Jolly, he's the CEO, on, because they went from a handful of cars in Birmingham to almost 2,000 cars in their fleet. Listeners of this podcast in the UK seem to really like subscription models to EVs, partly because EVs are progressing so quickly. People don't want a depreciating asset on their driveway, but also because the company do servicing. You get charge cards for BP Pulse, for the Shell card, which covers a ton of networks like Ionity, because they cover insurance as well. You get 1,000 miles a month. And whilst it's not, you know, cheap, to use that word, actually, when I priced it all up as part of working out, you know, what could I say about subscription services, actually, you know what, they get good deals on insurance, they get good deals on the cars, and like the new Kona is $559 a month from them, the Ioniq is $449, and, you know, and as long-time listeners of the podcast have heard me say before, I'm old-fashioned, I buy my cars. I'm somewhat of an anomaly because everyone uses finance to buy their cars and has a nice car on the driveway, whereas we buy our cars and don't have the nicest car in the street. But that's just, like, that's just us. My wife and I, both very similar people, both very tight. Okay, we don't like giving other people our savings, but, you know, we still drive a Renault Zoe, but still, I know we could have a nicer car if we'd go and do that, but still, that's us, we're just tight. So look, we should talk about ways of driving an EV, whether it's leasing, whether it's like personal, like PCP and finance, or loan, or a subscription service. Let's get Rob on the podcast this weekend on a Saturday special. If you'd like to ask any questions, you can always drop me an email anytime about anything. My personal address is hello@evnewsdaily.com, and we'll dig into these new cars that are joining their fleet and why so many people want to subscribe to an EV. Now, I've seen like Volvo do a similar thing with the XC40 Recharge in this country. It's less than £1,000, and it's like servicing. It's not insurance, but it is like you're guaranteed a brand new car. You can even spec the car with the spec you like, and yet you're not buying it. You're just committing to, I think the Volvo one is like 3 months minimum. Onto's a month minimum, but it super fascinates me. Different ways that people get into EVs, you know, because everyone's different, right? And I love that. So let's get Rob on the podcast on Saturday, answering any questions that you would like me to ask. Just ping him over. Next, we've got a bunch of stories about Tesla. It's just been a really busy Tesla news day today. First of all, let's talk about their repair guidelines. There's things called TSBs. Over here, that's a bank, the TSB. But no, TSBs are technical service bulletins. Monitoring these bulletins on the official website can be a good way of discovering common issues with various different car makers. And now Jalopnik's been looking at the various TSBs that have been put out for Tesla engineers to be aware of. The first bulletin they found is currently with Tesla service centers for the Tesla engineers. When they get a Model 3 in, they have to look out for the high voltage batteries, which may not have the sufficient quantity of bolts on for the contactor, DC link, bus bars. Now, what this is, it means it may prevent the vehicle from charging or even powering properly, powering up. The bus bars connect the battery to the rest of the high voltage system. The technical service bulletin follows up with instructions to inspect the terminals if there's no bolts or there's bolts missing, as the lack of contact can cause arcing burns on the joints or terminals. Missing bolts are not just limited to the Model 3. There's a Model Y bulletin out there that some cars have missing or loose suspension bolts, which are meant to hold the steering knuckle to the upper control arm, which is a potential safety issue. Tesla issued a recall bulletin on that one. So it's kind of interesting because it's just more evidence that making cars is really, really hard. Maybe why Apple are still sitting on the fence, and maybe why Elon Musk described making cars as production hell at one point in the past, because, you know, when you're scaling very quickly and there's so many bits to assemble on a car, you can kind of see how a bolt would be missed. Now, look, many of the established car makers have a series of things that I've read over the years, just a series of fail-safes in place. Partly that is all of the parts of that technician has to install on the car are placed into a container or a tub. So a car is coming along, a tub comes along on the robot, it's got 10 bolts in, you know. When all the bolts are gone from that tub, you've put them all on the car, and you've installed your widget, and off it goes down the line. Also, some engineers have to report or record the various torque that bolts were tightened to. Therefore, if they're making that recording of "I did it to a certain torque," then clearly the bolts on the car. So there are many things that the established automakers, the ones that have been making cars for 100 years, have put in place. And even though Tesla have undoubtedly poached top talent from across the industry, just goes to prove it's hard making a car. Panasonic are next in the news. They confirm that they are planning to set up a new battery cell production line at Gigafactory Nevada. That is for the new 4680 cells that we first heard about at Tesla's Battery Day. Says Electrek, when Tesla unveiled their plan to produce their own tabless battery cell in a bigger format with new chemistry last year, many people misunderstood it as Tesla moving away from getting battery cells from anyone else and doing it all in-house. Well, last year, Panasonic announced plans to produce the Tesla cells, as I'll call them. Now the company said that a new production line for the new cell is going in at Gigafactory Nevada later this year. On top of the new 4680 production facility at Nevada, Tesla will deploy their own production at Berlin and Texas. What's the best way to describe this? Maybe it's analogous to a franchise. Maybe. So Tesla have designed these tabless cells themselves, and indeed the production line, the pilot line in California. So maybe it's a case of other companies, Panasonic, LG, CATL and more. And Tesla will say, would you like to make our batteries? Give us a price that we could pay you. So here's the specs. Here's how you make the Big Mac. Every one we get back must be absolutely the same, whether you're ordering your Big Mac in New York or Shanghai. And various battery cell making companies say, yep, we can do that. We'll make those cells for you. Here's the price. And they just follow the directions. Because Tesla, Elon Musk has said many times, we can't do it on our own. We are cell constrained. We'd have the semi on the market already. We just don't have the cells. So that's super interesting. Next, I love these little stories. We hear about them semi-occasionally. Another police force are upgrading their cars and going EV. Two new luxury Tesla Model Ys are adding to the Seaside Police Department, the Seaside City Council, on Thursday nights, according to the police chief. The department averages 26 miles a day. So I don't think that range is going to be an issue. I'll put a link to KION 546 in the show notes, the radio station where I found that story. Next, Model 3 customers from Tesla are taking delivery of the newest builds of the car, are reporting that the heated steering wheel is now in place. Good time of year for those of us having our winter right now. And Tesla included some of the refreshed versions of its cars, according to Teslarati. Photographs uploaded by one particular user. The button to activate the heated steering wheel is within the seat heater's menu. Can be turned on by pressing the button of the little steering wheel. Only one option, it's on or off, unlike the seats, which have three different temperature settings. Next, Consumer Reports have released their list of its most liked car brands based on owner satisfaction. They asked 369,000 owners whether they'd buy the same car again if they had the chance. Tesla, Lincoln and Ram were top of the list. At the bottom, if you're wondering, Cadillac, Nissan and Infiniti. According to The Drive, this year Tesla scored highest on the survey, with owners rating their cars 4 or 5 out of 5 for driving comfort and in-cabin electronics. So no matter how you feel about Tesla, you have to know the owners of them are smitten with their cars. I tell this to people sometimes when they talk about Tesla or build quality or paint issues, because, you know, one car can come off the line and it's perfect and the next one can be a shambles and have to go back after handover delivery and get it all sorted. They always do sort it out, but just the quality control can be dubious on some of their cars. And I say to people, look, but the owners generally don't mind. Like, they're just delighted to have a Tesla. And okay, the paint might not be the best in the world. sometimes it is, but sometimes it's not. The fit and finish, sometimes it's fine, sometimes it's not. You know, I had one of my friends, Tom Malogny, from the Inside EVs podcast I do on Fridays. He was testing a Model 3, or was it a Y, last year. Like, there was a cable hanging out from under the wheel arch because the speaker hadn't been connected up, and there was something else fell off of the inside. And, you know, he's an EV reviewer, so he notices things like this and has to write and report on them. But the owner of the car was generally like, well, you know, I bought a Tesla, so take it back, they'll fix it, it's all right. Generally, the owners love these cars. Next, Tesla is buying Bitcoin. In January, they say, we updated our investment policy to provide further flexibility to maximize returns on the cash. As part of the policy, say Tesla, duly approved by the audit committee, they are now allowed to invest in things like invest their cash in gold, gold exchange, and also Bitcoin. So they did. $1.5 billion worth of Bitcoin. Moreover, we will begin accepting Bitcoin as a form of payment for our products in the near future, subject to applicable laws on a limited basis. Very interesting. According to CNBC, though, on an article I found from the 5th of Feb, so last week, Bitcoin has a carbon footprint comparable to New Zealand. Bitcoin mining, all the machines that run to mine Bitcoin, are now producing 37 megatons of CO2. According to Digiconomist, the cryptocurrency consumes more electricity than the entire annual energy consumption of the Netherlands, Cambridge University said. So whilst Tesla is indeed a company on a mission to advance the world's to sustainable transport, which will be a good thing for emissions, Bitcoin itself is without question a very bad thing for the planet. There's no way to paint that in any other way. The CO2 created by Bitcoin is enormous, and it's very bad for the planet. It's not going away. I'm not complaining. Bitcoin's going nowhere, nor is cryptocurrency. Just pointing out, Tesla does many good things, and Mr. Musk, these days, has been a very big fan of cryptocurrency on his social media feeds, but it's not without implications, I'll say. Final story today. 73 million EVs could be in Europe by 2030. The EY consultancy produced a new report with Eurelectric looking at electrification here in Europe. The consultants actually identified the key to getting as many EVs on the roads. What do you reckon it is? Their take is fleets, as having the largest potential for electrification, in particular, if they incentivise them properly, says Electrive. EY predicts a 24-fold increase in electric fleets by the end of the decade. And the fleet size in Europe could well be 73 million if they follow the four phases, which is to introduce them, to operate them, and to scale up. In practice, that's only three. No, the first one's assess. Assess, introduce, operate, scale. Right, so fleet managers at the moment are in the assess, introduce, and operate phases, I think it's fair to say, because many of them are not sure about EVs. They're like, okay, we've got maybe a fleet of 10,000 cars, but we'll take a few EVs, we'll see how we go, and then make some decisions in the future. I think very soon fleet buyers will be exercising their bulk purchasing power to put many more EVs on the road. And that, my friends, is a busy podcast for today. But we're not done, because there's question of the week to go. Regardless of tech or specs, what do you think? Who do you think is designing a great-looking EV? And why? Tell me why. Can be any shape, size, or price point. Regardless of the tech specs, who is designing a great-looking EV? Send me your answer. I'll read it out on Sunday. My email address is hello@evnewsdaily.com. Well, there are 987 shows in the archive, wherever you get your podcasts from. The blog evnewsdaily.com will sort you out for that. Also, ev.news sends you to the same place. If you can, share this podcast with anyone who would get something out of it, get some value, then please do. It's free, of course. It's all paid for by our Patreon supporters. and they put this show on the air. If that's you, thank you. With a little mention of our premium partners, Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Avid Technology, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, and Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, nationalcarcharging.com and alohacharge.com, Derek Riley and the EV Review Ireland YouTube channel, and Richard Simons at rsev.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK. Have a wonderful day. I'll catch you for Wednesday's edition. Oh, and do remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.